Well, let's take our Bibles and go to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. And I want to build off the thought that our program communicated and help us with that tonight and help us to see what's here. Luke chapter number 2. And if you find that, just in honor of God's Word, I invite you maybe to stand with me. If you're able, in verse number 8 is where we'll begin. Luke 2. In verse number 8. By the way, the Martins as well. I was going to mention something about them. They did a great job as Mary and Joseph. And I told them after the morning service when they were getting ready that by this time next year, if they do things right, they could have a real live baby Jesus. And that would just add to the program. And so let's pray about that with them. I'm sure Brother Luke would just really, really appreciate that. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity again to be here. Thank you for just all the work that went in from Brother Gerald and Brother Jared and Lord, all of our musicians, those that helped with costumes and Lord, our instrumentalists, every specialist, Lord, just all of them. I'm just so thankful tonight and for the effort and work that they put in. And I just pray that you would help us now, Lord, to take the message that was meant to be portrayed through this, and God, that we would see it clear and that we would take and apply it to our lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the Christmas season can be a very dangerous time of the year. I'm not talking about Walmart. I'm not talking about going to the mall, although if you've been to Walmart or the mall, you know that is a dangerous place to be right now. I was just driving down Slide the other day, and I think there was 3 accidents all within about 2 blocks from the mall, and they had traffic backed up everywhere. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Christmas story. See, there's a danger that we can hear it so often that it becomes so familiar that we lose sight of its real meaning. There's a danger we'll lose sight of the significance of the message because we are so familiar with it. Every year, we tell the same stories. We tell them in the same ways. I tell the same jokes. You fake your laugh the same way. I mean, this is my 8th Christmas here. How many different messages can you find from this one story? How many different jokes are there? We talk about the shepherds. Talk about the angels. Talk about the wise men. Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus. And we get to the point where we know every detail of the story and we've seen every little thing pointed out so that if we're not careful, we'll become so familiar with the Christmas story that we lose sight and we look past again just how wonderful this story is. The account of God's announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ to the shepherds, it's an amazing story. But it has some important truths. Truths that are still vitally important to everybody that's in this auditorium today. See, when the shepherds met the shepherd of their soul, their lives were changed forever. This is the most important message of all. And every Christmas season, we need to be reminded of it. Our text begins with the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. And the question then becomes, to whom does God announce the birth of His Son? To whom would you expect the announcement to go? We could see how God may choose to take and announce the birth of His Son to King Herod of the day. We might imagine or think, yeah, I can see how He would go and announce His birth in some big splendid ceremony in the temple that would be led by the high priest. That makes sense to us. But if you're like me, I have trouble understanding why He would choose this band of shepherds to announce His birth to. The announcement of the birth of the Son of God, again, it's not made to a king in a palace. It's not made to a priest in a temple. It's not made to the wealthy, to the movers and shakers of the day, to the most important of the land. The announcement of the coming Messiah, the one who would grow up and die on a cross for the sins of all humanity, it was made to a group of shepherds. Maybe it'll mean more to you if you understand that at the very best, shepherds were common, ordinary men. They were far from the social elite. In fact, do your research and you'll find that in most cases, they were very vile, very dirty men who were, for the most part, they were not only social, but they were also religious outcasts. Most likely, they tell us these shepherds were tending their sheep and would have been just outside of Bethlehem. It's very likely that the very sheep they were tending to and raising were ones that would be for use in sacrifices at the temple later on in Jerusalem. As the Bible introduces us to this group of shepherds, they're out in their fields. They're tending their flock at night. They're keeping a protective eye over the flocks in which they've been entrusted. And for them, no doubt, this was just another boring, ordinary, mundane night with the sheep. Then suddenly, the sky is filled with light. An angel descended from heaven, clothed in light. And any normalcy of that tranquil evening, it was suddenly shattered. And it doesn't come as any surprise to me that some of the first words we hear is when the Bible says, they were sore afraid. I would be afraid. I'm pretty tough, and I would be afraid. The phrase means that they were seized with great fear and with a desire to run away. In other words, they were trembling. They were terrified. It's not a wonder, again, they were terrified. Imagine being who they were and where they were and what time of the day it was and seeing what they saw. But again, what stands out to me in the first part of this, that stands out the most to me is just who received this visit from heaven. The angel of God came to the most despised of people. He comes to a people who were outcast from all respectable society. The honesty and integrity of the shepherds in that day was so questionable that they say they weren't even allowed to testify in a court of law. Shepherds were so far down on the list of social outcasts that the only group of people that were lower in society than the shepherds were the lepers of that day. But I believe God chose the shepherds because He wanted to show His love and His grace is available to everybody. He's not a respecter of person. He does not show more respect to kings than He does hourly wage earners. It doesn't matter to Him. I had the opportunity and I got a call Thursday night. Just one of those things that just comes up out of nowhere. And my pastor friend down in the Fort Worth area, Brother Bozier, he calls me and he says, I know you've got a busy weekend. He said, but somebody's just given me some seats in a box at Cowboy Stadium to watch all the championship high school football games all day tomorrow. I normally try to take Fridays off. He said, come down and watch some football with me, sit in this box and let's enjoy our time together. And so, you know, I prayed about it, and it just seemed to be God's will for me to go down to Dallas and watch some football, and it was awesome. But I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. I assumed I was going to walk into this box, and I was going to sit there, and it was going to be Brother Clark and some of his staff members, some of his church members. Oh, no, I walk in, and they're like, we'd like to introduce you to Congressman Williamson. We'd like to introduce you to the mayor of Willow Park. And very quickly, I realized, this idiot don't belong in this box. These people are like up here and I'm like way down here. I don't belong here. You know, the shepherds probably didn't feel like they belonged. You might not think you belong. You may think, is God even aware that I exist? And if he does, he probably doesn't have a very favorable opinion of me. He does know you. He knows everything about you. And it's very common that deep down all of us feel like that. Why would he care about me? Why would he I matter to him? But the story of Christmas shows us that no matter how insignificant you may think you are, God knows you and you are important to him. Know with me that the message the angels brought from God spoke immediately to their need when the angel said, "Fear not." The Bible says they were sore afraid. And so the natural response of the angel is, hey, don't be afraid. And the announcement they begin to receive, I want you to see this, it was personal. I love this. The angel said unto them, unto you is born this day. The message from heaven is that God is interested in individuals. No, I hope you get this tonight. He cares about you. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he came as a savior of the world, but he also came to be your savior. If you're here and you don't know him today, I'm telling you, he came to be your savior. He wants to be your God. I rejoice when I think of him dying for the sins of all of humanity. But I'm telling you, I almost lose control when I think that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and he died for me, a wicked sinner. The announcements they received was not only personal, but it was powerful. The angel speaks to them about a baby, but not just any baby, a very special baby, a baby that is identified by three special names. Says it in our text, he shall be in this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It calls him Savior. He's the one who would give his life for the sins of his people. He's the one who was robed his deity in humanity and came into this world to die on a cross. He was called Christ. The word tells us that he was the anointed one, the Messiah. He was the promised one from the beginning. As the program showed, he's the one for whom they waited, the ones the prophets foretold of. Maybe the one I like the most is he's called Lord. This title identifies him as a sovereign God. This little baby was the one who spoke the universe into existence. He's the one who formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. This baby's the one who controls the paths of the planets and the galaxies. He is the one who permits the movement of the most minute piece of dust. He is Lord of all, yet he lies in Bethlehem in our text in the person of a helpless baby. What condescension, what grace, what love, what glory to think that the Almighty God would humble himself to come into this world a helpless child. Why? So that we could be saved. You too may have a heart filled with fear this Christmas. Fear about your health, your family, your job security, your economy, the world's conditions. I'm just telling you, we need not be afraid. Why? Because we have good tidings of great joy. The Savior was born. Scripture has been fulfilled. Christ is Lord over all. And I love that this news, look at what it says, that this news will be to all people. This news is not just for a privileged few. The scripture says, whosoever will, let him come. Take of the water of life freely. Jesus came to pay for the sins of anybody who would respond to his message and believe in faith. He's available to everybody. After the angel's reassurance that they need not be afraid, verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Suddenly there was this heavenly flash. The angel that was there, that was surrounding that was talking to the shepherds, was suddenly surrounded. They were already bewildered, but now there's this heavenly host. The Bible talks about a multitude. That doesn't refer to 50, 150, or even 1,500. It means that this multitude of heavenly hosts was beyond counting. It's amazing to consider this heavenly host stretched from horizon to horizon to witness the most amazing event in history of the universe. Then the heavenly host began to sing praises. I found this interesting in study this week, but Scripture says in Job 38, verse 7, that at creation the angels sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. And now all these years later, they joined voices again to welcome the birth of the Savior for mankind. The sign to them was that they would find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. No other child in Bethlehem was being born in a stable that night. No other baby in Bethlehem would be found in a crude feeding trough. And so the shepherds, they hear the message of the angels and they react. How they responded to that message altered the course of their lives and their eternity. Notice what they could have done. As they were told this wonderful message, they could have sat around and they could have debated it. They could have all huddled up. All these outcast shepherds could have huddled up. They could have sat down and analyzed what they should do. Well, can we afford to leave the sheep? What if something happens to them while we're gone? They could have talked and talked and talked some more. In fact, sometimes we actually talk so much, we talk ourselves out of responding in faith. They could have debated it. They could have outright rejected it. They could have said, no, that's not for me. I'm just a shepherd. I'm sorry, I'm not into that. This is just too much. They could have dissected it. They could have said, you know, let's get out our phones. How far is it to Bethlehem anyways? Well, what's the weather going to do? This message is just asking too much. Oftentimes people think the gospel demands too much of them. They could have doubted it. They could have ignored it. They could have had any number of excuses that would keep them from checking out the story that they had just heard. They could have said, it can't be like we're told. In fact, why should we have been told at all? We better just forget about it. But the shepherds chose to believe. Their faith is revealed in their words. They did not say, let us go and see if these things are true. They said, let us now go and see these things that have come to pass. They responded in pure faith. See, it's not enough to hear about Jesus. Come to this Christmas season, we're going to hear a lot about Jesus. He's the reason for the season. But it's not enough to just hear about Him. It's not enough to look into a manger and say, oh, how nice. This is a beautiful scene. This is a beautiful story. But the truth is that if Jesus were born in Bethlehem 1,000 times and not born in you, you will still be internally lost. You can get sentimental at Christmas. This can be your favorite time of the year. You can love the Christmas story. But if Christ is not born in your heart, there's nothing it does for you. What they actually did is what changed their lives. Verse 15 and 16, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. Notice that? They didn't wait. They didn't procrastinate, but with haste. And what'd they find? Just exactly what the angels had said was true. I'm going to tell you, that's the only response to God's invitation that will bring salvation to the soul. respond in faith. Believe what you've been told and with haste make that decision. When the message comes to a lost sinner, it is a crucial moment. Either that sinner will heed the message and go to Christ, or that sinner will reject the message and continue in their sins and end up in hell. What you do with the message of the gospel, it determines how you will live out the remainder, not only of this earthly life, but where you will spend eternity. John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You missed it. You missed it all. If you die in your sins. If you come to every Christmas music special we have, you hear every Christmas message that has ever been preached from behind this pulpit, before me and after me, you hear them all. But if you do not get to a place where your sins have been forgiven, then ye shall die in your sins and you'll spend eternity in hell. So the question that needs to be asked tonight, and it really needs to be answered, is this. What have you done with Jesus? What have you done with this Christmas story? If you've accepted it and accepted Him, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Your sins have been forgiven. And the reason for the season, it all makes sense to you. But if you've heard it and you don't do something with it, my friend, you're in big trouble. It's just nothing more than a story. But it should be more than a story. It should be a story of your life and what He did for you. So let's do this tonight. I'm going to ask you. I know there are a lot of visitors, a lot of guests. You came to hear the music. But I want to ask you to do this. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Nobody looking around for just a moment. I just want to talk to you for a second. If you're here and you don't know 100%.